We have another panel now with the topic Shared Digital Public Space, an Opportunity for Europe. In recent years, the European Union has been taking a more active role in shaping our digital future. A number of instruments are on their way. But something that's still missing on a European level are instruments to foster digital alternatives to big tech platforms and open source development and maintenance. I will now hand over the microphone to our host of the panel, Helga Schwarzwald from the Verband Freier Rundfunk Österreich, which is the Association of Community Media in Austria. Thank you, Helga.
Thank you for having me and giving me the chance to moderate and host this very interesting panel with our two expert speakers. So first of all, I would really like to thank Alexander and Ingo for taking on this task of organizing this here and also pushing our limits by bringing in these visionary thoughts. I really appreciate it a lot and want to thank you here also publicly. I'm general managing director of the Association of the Community Broadcasters. We have a long and from the beginning very collaborative relationship with the CBA, and I think collaboration is also an important topic for us here today. Our speakers I want to introduce to you, it's Paul Keller. Paul Keller is a policy director of Open Futures located in Amsterdam. Prior to that, he also served in a policy shaping way in was co-director of Kennisland, an Amsterdam-based think tank working on issues related to the knowledge economy, and prior to that he was public research responsible head of the public research program at De Wacht in Amsterdam. So now we get the chance to see more of each other, as we are both representing our organizations in the STEPS coalition, where we are on a European level trying to move forward what Paul will go into in depth in his presentation. And then I would like to introduce Adriana Groh. it's sometimes not so easy to switch between German and English pronunciation. Adriana Groh is now joined the team of the new institute recently, which is also very exciting think and research platform in Hamburg. Prior to that, she was director. She made the feasibility study on the Sovereign Tech Fund, which we will hear more about in the presentation of Adriana. As I just saw, there are exciting news just happened in the last week concerning the Sovereign Tech Fund. So we look forward to hear about that. And she was prior to that director of the Prototype Fund in Germany. That is also something people trying to get money for open source development might know also here in Austria. So first of all, I would like to allow myself a few words also on the digital policy of the EU before I give over to the speakers to explore these funding structures, the governance that should and might be useful behind the European public shared public space. I just was in Amsterdam at the Public Spaces Conference, where I joined a very interesting and informative panel on the EU digital strategy by all women policymakers, and I would like to bring in mind what is recently going on in. So that it's a very vital time in terms of shaping digital future. It's now more on the regulatory side. We are always appreciating this and saying it's not going too far enough. We need funding. We need possibilities, frameworks to build alternatives. But nevertheless, I would like to just point out if the few major acts, digital related acts that the EU is now, at least on a policy level, already in agreement about. So this is first the Data Governance Act, which is already awaited, and also the DMA, the Digital Markets Act, and the Digital Service Act. I might point out that acts, others than directives, are always going down to the or impact directly the nation or the member states. So therefore, it's also for the citizens interesting to think about what this will change in their legal frameworks in their countries. And I just want to point out that with the DSA, there comes also some option for legal redress when platforms take away your voices. I think that's also an important thing when we talk about freedom of expression. There will be more transparency also in terms of recommender systems, eventually choosing whether which one you would like. We had this also addressed in prior discussions today, that this there should be some option, and for the DMA, I think here I want to point out already some achievement in terms of interoperability, which is a very important core value that we are advocating for, as it is, for example, that you can send from your Signal app to your friends still on WhatsApp. So I think that just as some also dark patterns, the cookie policy that brings you at the end to click all, allowing all, that will be also something that might change. But we don't have like the structural frameworks that we need to build stuff yet on the European level. And here I would like to go first with Adriana, looking to Germany and also seeing it as on the way to the European level. Adriana, would you tell us more about what's going on with what you have proposed and already achieved in Germany recently?
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation. I'd love to tell you more about it. And it's very recently, we know since Friday, last week. Okay, so already a week, but it feels very recent that we secured some kickoff funding from the new German government for a draft proposal on a sovereign tech fund in Germany to support open source infrastructures. But before I dive deeper into that, maybe let me tell you a little bit about that whole story. So as mentioned before, I used to run and build up the Prototype Fund in Germany for 4 years. The Prototype Fund is a joint program between the Open Knowledge Foundation Germany and the Federal Ministry for Education and Research. It is a very innovative funding model itself. So everyone who wants to think about structures, how to support open source with public money, I recommend having a look at it. It was the first fund in Germany that could, now I only see myself, but I hope you're still there. I just continue talking, but this is just
I'm here. We hear you very well here in the room.
I don't know what I've done. Anyway, so the Prototype Fund was the first program that distributed public funds to individuals in Germany. So software developers, designers, civic hackers in a broader sense, that had a good idea, an innovative idea, how to use open source code for the general public's interest. And so they received some funding. It was really lightweight, just 50,000 euro. Per person for half a year. But this made it possible for way more people to test their approaches and their good ideas in open source software than before. And in this way, we kind of wanted to build up a really solid ground of good ideas and people that just test their skills and their ideas in Germany. But what we realized is that only funding innovation, of course, only gets you that far. And that's a very limited approach to tackling issues and challenges in the whole software ecosystem. And of course, that's also not a new revelation. Lots of people advocate for more infrastructure funding, for more infrastructure support. And so also did we now from the Prototype Fund in Germany. So what happened then in 2020, besides the Corona crisis that also put a spotlight on infrastructure weaknesses in general, I would say, there were two factors that played into our cards. So to say, that was the German presidency of the UNDIC Council of the European Union and the narrative, or like the key topic they wanted to address during that presidency, was digital sovereignty, which is a term that is widely used right now, but it's not, I think, completely defined. There are some definitions. The European Union has one, Germany has one, and they're not mutually exclusive, but it's still to be discussed what we actually understand when we say digital sovereignty. And the other thing that happened by the end of, also I think 2020, was the Trump administration tried to shut down a very big open source fund, the Open Technology Fund in the US, that is funding internationally critical open source software projects and also many infrastructure projects. So those two instances helped us to have this window of opportunity to push forward for the idea of more infrastructure funding and support with public money. And that is important because, of course, industry foundations, they also support infrastructure development. But we believe that this is actually a crucial task of like digital public services. And we need to understand it as a job that needs to be done and shaped with a public lens and public funds. So we got the ears of the Ministry for Economic Affairs in Germany, because they also understand that this has critical value for businesses and companies, of course, also for civil society and for government itself. And we wrote the aforementioned feasibility study on how such a fund could look like. We published it under sovereigntechfund.de, if you want to have a look at it. It's also available in English. And with this feasibility study, we were part of the budget negotiations in Germany, and now have a kickoff budget for 2022 of 3.5 million. We would like to build that up to 10 million euro a year with public funds for the funding. And also, if it works out well, because we have many assumptions and hypotheses that we now need to test, top those 10 million up gradually. So, of course, that's a lot of money. It's at the same time a lot of money and not a lot of money. But I think it's a good amount of money to start testing how we want to support software infrastructures. And how we want to do this, it's basically a little bit of a novel funding mechanism. We just pulled all our learnings together from the Open Tech Fund. So some team members had background in the Open Tech Fund, others in the Prototype Fund. We did lots of interviews and discussions with funders, but also grantees. And we learned that we need to combine a pull and a push mechanism. So we need to actively go out there and scout for open source software components that are critical, underfunded, and overused. We need to talk to people that are active in the community, that are responsible for single components, but they just generally know what is going on. We also want to establish a quantitative approach of scouting, so metrics, and just have this kind of like scan of the software ecosystem. This is ambitious. There are lots of people working on it right now. I think the work there will never be done, and it will never be a complete mechanism. You always need to add to it by having people telling you what you should look at. And then also there should be, of course, like an open application form where you can be like, hey, guys, look at this. This is really important. Please fund this. And then we imagine to have a data bank in the background where we just store the knowledge of the knowledge about critical infrastructure software components, so that we don't only react to something's breaking, but we can maybe, and that's also ambitious, but maybe we can also proactively go where the next big security breach is about to happen, or where lots of components are overused and underfunded. And this is basically the whole idea. We believe, as I said, that this should be a public task, that there should be public money going into it. But of course, we also see the responsibilities on the business side, because many of them use those components in their services and products. And we need better open source strategies on the company side, how to work on a like eye level with communities so that the whole ecosystem profits from cooperation and becomes more sustainable and more secure in the long term. This is about a short run through what we imagine with the Sovereign Tech Fund. As I said, we now have this kickoff budget. We're now going to test our assumptions. And then we, of course, imagine that this is not a German topic, but a European topic. But sometimes you need to prioritize speed. So that's why we started doing it in Germany, where we had access to the relevant stakeholders. But I think this is a transition to Paul now. Of course, this is something that needs to be looked at from a European and actually, honestly, from an international lens, because we don't believe that sovereign or digital sovereignty funded by the German government means we fund open source software made in Germany, because something like that doesn't really exist. But I want to make that very clear, because that question sometimes pops up. It is driven now with public funding from Germany, but we believe this is an international topic and should be on the European level as fast as possible.
Thank you, Adriana. For now, we sure come back and go deeper into the details of the fund. I pass on to you, Paul. I think what I would like to mention, I think you will address it in more detail anyways. There is also initiative for digital commons brought forward by the French presidency of the European Council, or the Council of the EU. And so this is also something very, let's say, somehow new compared to a few years back, so that the presidency now is really acknowledging the huge importance of open source developments in the general structure of the internet, but also in terms of economy. Yeah, I pass on to you making the case for a European fund for shared digital public spaces building. Thank you, Paul, in advance.
Thank you. And can you hear me? Okay, good. So yeah, before I start my slides, which is somewhat complicated in this setup, let me say a few things. So first, thank you for the invitation to speak to you at this event. I wish I could have come over, but it's like a bridge day and we have school kids here at home and it's all a little bit complicated. Anyway, glad to have the opportunity to do this via video connection. And also thank you, Adriana, for the explanation of the Sovereign Tech Fund, which takes away a lot of the pressure to explain exactly like where this ties towards things we've learned about open source software development, the role of open source software development, the structure of software development funding in the past. And let me maybe paint a little bit of a broader picture. And I'll try to get my screen shared right now, which may or may not work. Let me see.
We just saw your Open Future logo, the first site. Now it's gone for a moment. We will see.
Do you see my slides now?
Yes, it's again towards a shared digital Europe is the first slide.
Yeah. Okay. So you're seeing the slide that I am seeing. So
good.
And I'm getting echoes, so you probably need to mute yourself. Does it work better now? It works better now. Okay. So I'm going a little bit back here with the presentation and trying to make this case and where our thinking about the case for EU digital public infrastructure comes from. And that goes back to about 4 or 5 years ago when we started thinking, and this is during the period of the previous European Commission, which addressed all issues related to the digital environment, basically as questions about the digital single market. So there was a very strong single market or market framing around the ideas for digital policy making in the EU. We as people mainly working in the access to knowledge community at that time, but also from projects like Wikimedia, from digital rights initiatives, thought this is essentially like a very limiting approach to this because it justifies everything. It puts us in a market framework and it requires us to essentially justify all our activities in market terms, something that we simply didn't want. So we started I think there's a couple of people in the room there, but like there's many people around this, come up with a vision for a shared digital Europe, which is a sort of manifesto that we published in April 2019 ahead of the European Parliament elections, and in the hope that this would also make a contribution to maybe shifting the discourse about technology and internet regulation in the European Union and specifically under the next European Commission, which by now is the current European Commission, right? Like, and in this vision for a shared digital Europe, we essentially identified four principles that our idea of a shared digital Europe would be built on. One of them is cultivate the commons. The other one is one about decentralizing infrastructure. Then we have empower public institutions and enabling self-determination, where self-determination is individual self-determination. So it's not necessarily used in the sense of sovereignty, as was explained earlier, which is a bit of a contested concept, which became more prominent in the last time. And for us, really, these ideas about cultivating the commons, like, obviously also resonate very strongly with collaboratively open source infrastructure projects, software development projects that where people collaborate in order to produce common goods that are for all. And cultivating means creating the conditions for a sustainable movement around this, creating the conditions for sustainable projects, both on the technology side, but also on the governance side, etc. So this is one of the focus points that we have started working on, or what we worked in the last years. And this found its place in this, Helga has mentioned that already, in the Shared Digital European Public Spaces, STEPS short, which is a coalition that many of the people in the room are part of, and that has been operating for about 1.5 years with the aim of creating or contributing to the creation of shared digital public space in Europe, which is built on European values and on digital public infrastructure, right? And this also comes like this coalition, like you may ask yourself, why yet another coalition? There's lots of coalitions on civil society side at the moment that have in the past years focused very much on regulation, right? Like there is a strong, and Helga has alluded to that in her introduction, there is a very, very strong movement, a very strong regulatory project ongoing under the current European Commission, which tries by ways of regulation change the course of how the internet operates. And the most prominent examples of these are the almost adopted Digital Markets Act and Digital Services Act, which try to interfere in the space and regulate the behavior of those platforms that largely dominate the online environment at the moment. So big tech companies, right? Like, and it tries to put borders around like how big tech companies can operate in terms of how they approach markets, how they deploy their business, how they grow, how they acquire new companies, etc. That's the Digital Markets Act. And then you have the Digital Services Act, which tries to regulate certain behavior, specifically when it comes to online platforms where users interact on platforms provided by these services, right? But from our perspective, and our perspective here is really the perspective of the organizations combined in this STEPS coalition, is regulation is simply not enough, right? Like, we cannot just regulate away bad behavior. We also need to create alternatives. We need to envisage alternative infrastructures where people who do not want to be subject to the behavior of these big tech companies can try different ways of operating. Like at the Public Spaces Conference in Amsterdam last week that Helga talked about at the beginning, there is really like, there was a very strong feeling, for example, that there is a need for providing infrastructures, providing feeding ground for what many participants called small social networks, smaller decentralized social networking infrastructures. They need, in order to succeed, they not only need like investment by people building these things, but they also need the fertile ground to exist on. And this is something that is currently lacking from the policy program of the European Union, which is very much focused on regulation and on building like regulatory frameworks for the data economy and for the platform economy, if you will. So what we have identified as a sort of core ask with the STEPS coalition over the past year is that there needs to be a right to alternatives, right? Like citizens, people in Europe should have the right to be able to connect to each other, to conduct online business or online socializing based on digital public infrastructures that are beyond the control of individual companies which do apply extractive data-driven business models on top of that. There is a lot of talk in these fields about decentralization, about interoperability between things, but fundamentally there needs to be like these alternative fabrics need to exist for individual initiatives that are taken up to grow to the scale that they become useful to citizens across Europe, and that they can also, to some degree, at least functionally, rival some of the functionality that's provided by big tech at the moment. And as it was outlined in the introduction, but as Adriana also pointed out, this is by far not a new idea. This idea has been circulating a lot. I think like maybe the most, as we've heard, like the most concrete embellishment of this idea at the moment is the proposal for the Sovereign Tech Fund. I'm referring here to the feasibility study, but it's of course like very, very good news that this feasibility study in less than half a year has resulted in a concrete funding commitment by the new German government to make this happen. And that will give us the ability to see these ideas to come into fruition and learn from them. Another very encouraging thing at the moment is that the French, and Helga has referred to this in her introduction, that the French government has started thinking about and launched a declaration by the French presidency in February calling for a European initiative for digital commons. And by digital commons, they are essentially referring to a version of these things. They also look at collectively produced resources in the field of software, but also in the field of knowledge creation, things like Wikimedia, OpenStreetMap, OpenFoodFacts. There's a lot of things, and they really think that Europe investing into the creation of these kind of like commonly held resources can chart a different course than the market-driven course that is currently developing the internet economy. France, since they have issued this declaration, has assembled a working group that is contributed to by more than, I think, 16 or maybe it was 18, I'm not entirely sure, member states who have over the past months worked on a declaration, like on a follow-up for this declaration, and are trying to work on producing a report that will paint the overall framework for such an initiative, which France or the the people in the French government driving this process, aim to present in less than a month from now at the Digital Assembly, which is this big gathering of tech policy people, digital policy people, annually of the European Union, that takes place in Toulouse these days. So there is interest and input into this from the governments of more than half of the EU member states, right? Like, which is probably a prerequisite for making something like this happen on the European level. And finally, we've also seen recently the publication of this study by the NGI Forward program, written by Katja Bego, which also says that basically towards public digital infrastructures, and is specifically looking at a governance model for how something like this could look like. And it's also noteworthy, this comes from the Next Generation Internet Project, which is already the European, one of the European Commission's funding schemes to actually support free and open source software development projects on a technological level. So they provide funding for software development in this field. So there's also some existing praxis here in the European context. And of course, there is the sort of original example of many, most of us are pointing to, of the Open Tech Fund that was introduced under the Obama administration in the US. So let me come back on. So what we're having here is a pretty clear opportunity for Europe to invest in values-based digital public infrastructures and to do something different, right? Like, this is to some degree, put your money where your mouth is. There's a lot of talk about values-based digital or values-based digital space, and in order to realize this, I hope it's clear to those who've listened this far, we really need to invest in infrastructures, because such a space, these values need to be manifest in they need to be based on digital infrastructures. We cannot simply operate on infrastructures that have been designed to maximize the extraction of data and value for corporate interest. We need different types of infrastructures that are designed according to different values. And so we see this this idea of an open tech fund as an opportunity to get there. And in this context, like, I think, instead of referring to that as an open tech fund, like, I would refer to this as a European Digital Public Infrastructure Fund, or a Digital Public Infrastructure Fund. And in terms of principles, this is probably very, very similar to what you have heard about the German Sovereignty Fund. The fund must be designed to support technologies that adhere to a number of core design principles, and the most important ones here are open, both in terms of open source code and use of open standards. It must be based on interoperability. Again, the importance of open standards, and it should be decentralized, both in terms of architecture and governance. So these are technology development projects that meet these requirements that would fundamentally be eligible to support from such a fund. The fund must be able to provide ongoing support for existing technologies, and must have the ability to identify and support work on missing technologies. This is what I think Ariana identified in her presentation as, it must be able to do push and pull. So it must go where existing projects are, but it must also be able to say, like, here is really a gap in our public infrastructure that needs filling, and via targeted rounds or targeted calls for proposals, intervene in the space. I have the feeling that I have this part on two slides. Yeah, there it is again. And it is important in the sense that the fund does not fall into the trap of a lot of technology funding, right? Like, to fund only innovation stages or scale up funding. Instead, it must be based on the assumption that that public digital infrastructure requires continued public support, right? Like, it is not enough to, like, just fund something when it's fresh and new and everybody is exciting. If it's a good idea, if it becomes part of infrastructure that requires ongoing funding, which is often very hard to justify if you're working inside existing funding structures, because a lot of them are driven by this idea that innovation phases and scale-up phases need funding, and then there will be some sustainable business model at the end of that, and then these people will or projects will basically be able to fund themselves, which is often not true, especially if this is of providing infrastructure services to others. And so to whom should these projects be useful? What type of projects are we looking for? Or what type of technologies are we looking for? Fundamentally, we think this fund should support the development and maintenance of digital public infrastructures that deliver public value by providing citizens and institutions with alternatives to commercial digital infrastructure. And specifically, we're thinking about services and tools that empower public institutions, be that public service media, or knowledge institutions like libraries, museums, and archives, or obviously like educational institutions, both in primary and secondary education. And then important as well, services and tools that empower civic and common and commons-based projects, right? Like, so this is not only about supporting institutions. This is also about supporting or enabling, empowering communities around institutions, communities that exist independent of institutions. And obviously, and this is also something that was highlighted in the presentation about the German example, this needs to go so far to also support underlying infrastructures, protocols, and development tools, because like these software stacks like require like lower levels of open tools in order to come to these end user facing tools that we really think and services that we really think such a digital public infrastructure fund should focus on. And then finally, a couple of ideas, explorations around the structure and the governance of this. Now, obviously, such a fund, and this is by no way a criticism of the national character of the German example that we've just heard about, and it was also very clearly said that they start in Germany with the idea to move fast and then hopefully scale up towards something Europe. But essentially, such a fund must be European in scope, since it needs to support infrastructures that operate on the European scale to realize its objectives. Like, otherwise, we'll end up in some endless reinventing the wheel, transporting projects from one country to another. Like, if we want to have enabling infrastructure level digital projects, then this needs to be on the European level at least. But it should not be limited to supporting projects that are European in scope. This is clearly an opportunity to promote EU values. And if projects that are driven by these EU values are useful outside of the EU, like this fund should also support that. But Europe is probably the level where we can find, hopefully, political alignment and some critical mass of support, financial and politically, to make this happen. And obviously, if there are, and since there are activities which are similar setups that exist on the national level, activities should be closely coordinated with the activities of national level activities. And then finally, on governance, this is more questions or like a couple of suggestions. So one idea, obviously, where does the money come from for this? One is that there is this idea, like the Recovery and Resilience Facility, which is the post-COVID recovery fund that the European Union requires member states to put 20% of the budget that they get into development of digital projects or projects related to the digital transformation. And so one idea would be to closely look there if there are ways in this to tap into these budgets. And there is this idea of multi-country projects to find funding for a fund like this one. This is also interesting to see what the French will propose in this area, since they are talking to a large number of member states about this idea and will have to also have ideas about how something like this could be funded. And then a final idea about the governance is that this should probably be run by an independent foundation with a strong participatory governance model that ensures the different stakeholders, including civil society and academia, involved in decision making, so allocation of resources, but also in the development of strategy and really charting the model and where we see needs for developing digital public infrastructures that can serve as an alternative to the ongoing, to the current dominant tech platforms. And with this, I'll end my presentation. And now I have no idea where I find myself again. Apparently, I'm still here. Good.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Adriana, for your first presentations or for your presentations.
But I can't hear Helga. You're muted.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just said thank you for your presentations. And I don't know, shall we go into discussion right away? Or I would maybe, as we are very well in time, I might take the liberty to ask some questions right back. Maybe also Adriana, you were very brief, and I'm from the position as someone who is trying to get policy makers and elected representatives to think about these ideas. So first of all, I want to say it's really amazing how much in this field has changed over the last few years. It was kind of when we 2 years ago maybe or three year, 2 years ago when we brought up the need for this for such a fund on the national level, there was no real point to kind of get the policy makers to connect with it. So now we have this German tech fund that is put into law, as I understand it. I would be very much interested, as we were struggling with very low financing quotas, also the innovation thing, no money for maintenance and adjustments and developments that have not very strong innovative quality to it, but just are needed to run the thing safely. I read your feasibility study. Now I would like to ask you how much from that proposal will go into law. What will change? As far as I remember it, there was no limit in terms of entry amount for an application into the Sovereign Tech Fund, also not kind of an open the possibility to put in a proposal for funding when you have one, and also terms of single person can apply for funding or only organizations. What do you say on these aspects? How will it play out in the end?
Sorry for being so brief on that. Sometimes you feel really boring explaining the inner workings of a fund to a crowd of listeners, because it is a little dry. I mean, everyone is excited about what you fund, but not particularly about the fund itself, and that's okay. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. But I can elaborate a little bit more on that. And I need to say once again, with that whole proposal, the whole idea, we had, like, our motto was a little bit better done than perfect, especially because we know that so many people advocate for, like, more funding, infrastructure support and so on, maintenance and this. And it rarely goes through. So when we had this window of opportunity, we felt like, okay, we need to push this and prioritize speed and leave the questions open, make it clear that those questions are open. But now we are in a situation that we have a budget from the German government. It is known in the relevant fields in Germany and with the relevant stakeholders, so we can test our assumptions and clear up some of those questions that are still left open. So we see this initial kickoff phase in 2022 really as like a test run or like a pilot for the fund itself. We also made that clear because we are not big fans of making your great master plan and then putting it into practice just one-on-one. And of course, some things not going to work out. Some stuff never translates from paper into reality. We know that from the prototype fund. So you need a structure that is flexible, as in it is able to learn. And this is what we want with the Sovereign Tech Fund for at least the first 6 months, but ideally for the whole thing all the time, because things also change in the field and then your fund needs to adapt to it. So this is where we're at right now. The goal is to fund individuals as much as loose networks, also companies with a match funding mechanism. So incentivize building up capacities in companies, supporting them in building up an open source strategy, because we feel this is where we can really be sustainable on the long run. Because when you fund, you give somebody, one person, an amount of money once, and that person's going to spend it once, and then it's gone. And this is good for like achieving that one thing, but it's not really sustainable. So money is not going to solve all our problems. What's going to solve many problems is using that money to incentivize structural changes in communities. So maybe to think about how do you bring new people in? How do you make your community more diverse, more resilient? How do you work with companies that use your products? You know, government structures and so on, but also incentivize, as I said, open source strategies and sustainable co-working mechanisms on company side. And this is what we want to do, like incentivize with the funding that we give out. Also, we don't only want to give people money, we also want to give them whatever kind of training they need, like a community strategy, a security audit, communication strategies. You know, this is often something that is very much needed. And we could, for instance, fund teams that then go in a community and help them, because they don't have the skills necessarily. They are experts for something else, and they don't need to become experts in marketing, or marketing is a bad word, but that's actually what I mean, you know, bring your message out there. So the fund really has this kind of like portfolio of measurements and things that it wants to do. But I'm repeating myself. We have many learnings from the Open Tech Fund, from other funds, from the Prototype Fund. We have many insights from the needs that exist on the community side and from company side. But nevertheless, we need to test them. And this is what we're going to do now. So we're probably going to have another short report coming out in a couple of months, probably more like a year, when we did like one round of funding, run like the setting up of the mechanisms, also the metrics, how to scan for projects. And then we're going to be really honest, and we're going to be like, okay, this worked great, but this and this and this didn't really work out. So we changed it in this way or another. I don't know if I should dive deeper into our like why we want to fund individuals and why we want to fund companies. Probably for most here in this room, it's pretty clear that especially infrastructure projects, they are not just here or there. They are super diverse, not just like geographically, but also from who is supporting infrastructure projects or who is part of them. You have people all over the place. You have them in governments, you have them in companies, you have that one single person. Everyone knows that famous comic that sits in like its basement and is maintaining something for 30 years and nobody even thanks them for it. You know, you have all those kind of people, and you need to address all of them if you want your fund to be successful. Otherwise, you're going to lose lots of opportunities.
Thank you. If you want to say something on single and other forms of possibility to apply, you can do that now. Otherwise, I would pass on to Paul and ask you also on the reply of Adriana now, what you would take or make of that in relation to the public infrastructure fund on the European level. What learnings could we take from that process onto the next stage, so to say?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, to take learnings from something which is an idea. No, it's not an idea, right? Like it's a well thought proposal that needs to be into practice. Let's put it that way. Is a little bit early. Like, I mean, like there's a lot of inspiration that we're taking at the moment from this that I think also, I know that you have also presented this, for example, to the people in the French government who are working on this. So there is clearly attention for this and clearly people take inspiration from that. Learning requires doing first. And I'm very excited that you will start doing this very soon and that we will be able to learn from this. Like, I think what is important here is maybe what you just pointed out, that when we're thinking about infrastructure funding, right, like we need to go away also from these classical fundings where it's basically having proposals come in, then judge them competitively what the proposal is. So I think that requires a more structured thinking about the types of infrastructures that we want, and maybe even more importantly, the types of infrastructures that we consider crucial for running the European digital space in a way that we want. So this is to some degree maybe both a more opinionated way of funding, where it is clearly about like, okay, we know what we want, but at the same time also a less competitive and mercurial way of saying like we pitch, like we wait till the best ideas emerge in this competition of ideas, right? Like I think this is the way, in a way, like we're talking about infrastructure funding where it needs a certain amount of planning, of surveying the landscape and identifying like really where the gaps are, where the missing connections are, and what's needed, and then standing for this and trying to really fuse this type of like public demand for something with the ability of committed individuals in these communities to provide something that works, right? Like, and it is not something, the interesting thing here is this is not necessarily a market thing. This is not where we want governments to procure specific software solutions or something through the means of a fund, because that sounds nice and inclusive. This is something where we really need to, which really needs to fuse like the needs and the ambitions of these communities, which often function with a very, very altruistic ideas about contributing something to society, with the needs of running a public layer of infrastructure services on the internet.
If I may add to this, because I think this is exactly the key point. It's also that we thought in the very beginning about, is a fund actually the right mechanism? Because on the long run, I think it's not, because it's not, as Paul just said, it's not something about competitiveness and funding, funding the one thing and not the other. We really believe that we need to understand that this is a digital public service that needs to be maintained, like literally, in order for our public interests, and that covers all areas. That is, of course, like for businesses, companies, innovation, all that stuff, all important, but it's also about free speech and civil liberties and just the really basic ability to shape things, futures. So I think in the long run, the fund isn't maybe the best mechanisms, but we can learn a lot by setting up a fund. and then look at how to institutionalize this even more, make this even more something that is just there to stay because we understand it to be something that is in the public's interest and that needs to be done just as a standard, so to say. And I had another thought, but this one slipped while I was talking, so back to you.
Thank you. I think it's also I'm fairly new in this exercise of imagining what the European public infrastructure even might or what it might all be made of and how it could look. So I'm coming from this very let's say local and very small need to look for funding where can something like the CBA get some money to develop or not to be the guy in Nebraska that is responsible for this little item where the internet is built on or our archive. But for me it's also very inspiring and I think also important this thinking and envisioning exercise and learning about what this digital infrastructure is all about or what we need in order to even imagine it. Adriana, you had something in mind? Just go for it.
I just remembered my second point, because also what Paul said about it's kind of like mission or value driven. And I think this is crucial also. And it's also honest to say that you have a set of values and a mission and that is what is guiding you. As one criteria to do that funding. And I think Mariana Mazzucato also suggested it as part of like an industrial innovation policy to understand digital infrastructures as a crucial area for states, for governments to become active in, because you can build all your innovative castles, but if you build them on sand, so to speak, they're just going to crumble on the long run and maybe not going to work out in the way that you imagine. So we really need to not just overly focus on innovation funding all the time. And especially in Germany, that's the case. It's always innovation. But you need to look at the foundations that you build your innovations upon. And that's why I brought in the prototype fund, because I was also an innovation fund. But it was pretty clear that only innovation funding doesn't work.
Thank you. Paul, you want to go?
Yeah, just to add to this, like I have years ago, I've been involved also in running a smaller type, something called the Digital Pioneers Fund in the Netherlands for a couple of years. And it is clear that just fund, like things that need funding from public means, right? Like they often require these things. Like we also didn't set up the public broadcasting system by like throwing them like a couple of million euros or whatever it was back in the days then, and then expect them to develop a business model, which is always the answer to these sort of innovation funding things. Like, okay, we'll give you one and then maybe you can have an acceleration phase and a scale up phase, and then you've been for public funding three times and then you're not eligible anymore. You should have developed a business model, right? Like for certain things, public funding is the business model to some degree, and there's nothing wrong about it. And I think we've conflated fundamentally things like public institutions, public infrastructures with technology, and thought like technology has somehow completely changed the world and there will always be like this sort of magic business model at the end. No, like we're building, like we're in the process of building infrastructures, we're in the process of maybe building new institutions in the digital age, and some of them will need to be public ones and some of them are market driven ones that operate based on business models. And the public sector, and now talking about many governments here, has been to some degree asleep at the wheel and thought like that technology is something that they can leave completely to the market. And what we've seen from that is that currently like technology is threatening to eat into like all these sectors that are really core to our societies. If you look how the big tech companies have used the COVID pandemic in order to gain a foothold in educational systems, right? Like all these classroom management systems that are run by Google or by Microsoft or by Apple. The same is true, like to some degree, in the healthcare sector. And this is something that is fundamentally undermining the way we envisage our societies, where we say, like, we want for central functions of democratic societies publicly elected and publicly mandated organizations to be at the core of carrying out these functions.
Thank you, Paul. Alexander wants to join the discussion.
Hello, thanks for your talks and interesting input. My name is Alexander Baradzic. I'm chair of the Cultural Broadcasting Archive. Two questions, one to Adriana and one to Paul. Adriana, I understood that you see this endeavor as some sort of at least a European one, since development of specific software wouldn't work just in Germany, but also in Austria or in Bulgaria. So do I understand you then also correctly that this might be then a way that if there are collaborations cross-border to apply together for this fund for a specific development or infrastructure that would then be in benefit for people or the society in Germany, but abroad as well. And to you, Paul, I had the question, what are then the next steps of this idea of a European fund? Is there something on the horizon within still the French presidency? If you could please outline this briefly for us.
Okay, then we go, I think, in order. So I think Paul and I, we pretty clearly laid out, maybe I just speak for myself, why we believe there should be a public funding in the fund. But with public money, there are also some strings attached, which is often that you can only spend it in like Germany, because it's German taxpayers' money. But we now, as we're setting up really the institution and not just the paper, because now we have this kickoff funding secured, we really want to make sure that we can at least fund in Germany. We're probably not going to be able to fund internationally just right now, but we want to fund in the whole of Europe. And this is one of our key priorities for now. So, yeah, I think there doesn't need to be too much justification why this is helpful for like Germany specifically, because it's an ecosystem where things build upon each other, where lots of people use different components, and it doesn't really matter if some developers in Bulgaria or Italy or in Germany work on them. This is really what we believe. And as I said, if we believe that we could have been just as fast as in Germany, we would have started it right at the European level. But Germany had an open ear and showed the willingness to push this forward. And they also, like our partners at the Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs, they also understand that this is a European topic. So they really also all for this, making this a European idea or initiative.
Paul?
Okay. The question was mainly in relationship to like if there's any European projects on the horizon, right? There's two answers to this. Like I spoke a little bit to this French initiative, which is a sort of diplomatic approach trying to get as many member states around it and trying to get them on the table. And I think the French are working very hard on trying to turn this into something as specific or as real as possible that they can announce by the end of their presidency, which means basically in 3 weeks from now. We will see. So we will learn that very quickly. It's always also a question in these things, like how do initiatives like this one get carried over from one presidency to the next one? Or is there enough commitment for this to take its own life? Like generally, like this would be, if it takes this shape, it would be something that is essentially like something that's run by multiple member states together based on a voluntary collaboration. And I think the logic is strongly visible for governments in various member states. Like even if it goes differently, like the German funds coming from support from, for example, the economic affairs side of things, the French thinking about this, interestingly, from the side of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, like the underlying logic and this assumption that there needs to be like a investment into Europe's capacity to do something different is something that is shared by very many governments. And so I'm sort of optimistic here. The other thing is like the way Europe as a thing, as the European Union functions, is obviously also in these longer term horizons. Like there's work programs of European commissions, which change every 5 years. There's these longer term funding programs. So I think we're working towards like, and this means like on the European Commission, on the European Union level, it's very unlikely that something changes from 1 year to the other. Like there are no, like the German example, also that it worked so well for you has to do probably with the fact that there was a change of government. So this was a sort of once every 4 year opportunity that was very well played on your side. And we'll probably in Europe, this is something where we see it as our responsibility to put this on the table as strongly as possible, and maybe some member states pick it up through initiatives like the French one, or by looking at how the Germans do and then maybe saying like, we also want this. To get this on a more structural level probably means that this needs to be picked up by the next European Commission in 2024, right? Like, and so it is important to really seed this idea right now, to nourish as many good examples as possible, and to really have that as something that can be picked up then in 2024 is not that far away, so in 2 years from now, right? So but there's things in Europe generally move a tiny little bit slower than they move on national level in many member states.
Thank you, Paul, for the outline and also the timeline, so to say. We have another question from the audience.
Roland Alton at Faircom. I see a number of institutions in Europe that do funding from the Commission or NLNet and your initiative. That's good. What we probably lack is our leading institutions, which also do have infrastructure and have lead projects, like Mozilla Foundation is in the US. Beyond Chaos Computer Club, I don't know many here in Europe. Thank you very much for having all this video support here from CCC Media. But who else do we need in our infrastructure plan? And I think also large, not only people who are scouting or also manage to get money and redistribute, but you need hubs where people are living, working on special projects, support. There was a message, I think, in the chat today, now also about the Fediverse. Well, there are many people working on Mastodon or PeerTube and all these projects, but there seems to be no funding really to network all these people, which are so important. Activity Hub is also our common sense here in this in the lab part of this conference that we would like to build on, but there is no funding for that and no institution for that, or only very vague. So what's your opinion about funding institutions or nonprofits or foundations?
Thank you. Does anyone, Adriana, you was that, I could say something on that?
I can just some note say that on this, but that was like, Paul, do you want to go first? But now I'm speaking,
no,
so I just say that one. Yeah, I just said that one sentence because we thought exactly about this. Like, shouldn't we set up what is the translation? Eine Bundesstiftung, so like a federal foundation in Germany that is equipped with money and then could also, you know, just employ people to work on critical infrastructure components. Like, because funding, as I said, you get that once and it's spent once, and that's not very sustainable. So people might not be able to quit their jobs or commit more time in the long run on a critical project. But if you would give them another employment to focus on that, that could be a solution. But then often the work is very gradual and just from time to time, so it's not like a full-time job. So as you can see, we thought about many things and problems, basically many problems that arise with either model or the other model, and we settled for the fund now. But having this foundation model in Europe could prove to be very valuable, especially because, as I said earlier, I don't think a fund is the thing that's going to help us on the long run. So I'm all for thinking more about non-profit funding, foundation setups, and I think that that's a good point.
So, and let me add to this, like, I don't know, like, you will have seen that if you closely watched on my last slide, they also like called the fund should be run by a foundation. So it's certainly like in between like this space, and we need to see like what's really necessary, what's feasible. Like, this depends also on the amounts available, etc. Like on how close it is to government, how independent it can operate. All these kind of questions like need to be answered. I also want to point out, maybe this is also a shout out to another very interesting project or entity that's also coincidentally based here in Amsterdam, is the Foundation for Public Code, which is also a relatively new nonprofit, which tries to, especially in the terms of with regards to code that gets written or commissioned by government entities across Europe, to try to have more sustainable code stewardship after the fact that something gets produced. Like, so there's a big sense that especially when it comes to municipalities investing into open source solutions, that it's often a question of reinventing the wheel, because like they just don't know what like municipalities in the next country or even like in other parts of the country are doing. And so there's a big need of sort of also this stewardship function of kind of like steering resources and matching things that are already available with needs and resources. So this is certainly not and I think that's also the essence of what Ariana just said, like it's not like there's this one thing to solve this problem, right? Like building complex infrastructures in democratic societies is also a messy process, right? Like there's no perfect formula for funding that.
Thank you. Are you happy with the answer, or do you want to reply? No. So, yeah, thank you so much for now. Any questions or comments from the audience members? Yeah, thank you. Vladimir?
Hi. So just a quick maybe.
Maybe you want to just say where you are coming from.
Oh, yes. Okay. So Vladimir from the CMFE and podcast.rs. So maybe just a quick comment. Did you consider the kind of a public crowdfunding as one way of getting the money for your foundations?
We did, like, we are not at this stage. We're like really like trying to make this idea land with policymakers on the European level, and so we are not specifically looking into funding models for something that already exists. We want something to come into existence, but maybe you have?
We?
Yeah.
Nope. As I mentioned, we really believe, I mean, we could have also started with like industry money, because they also understand how important this is. They want to give money into the ecosystem, but the thought really behind this whole setting up of the Sovereign Tech Fund is not just, okay, we need something like this. It's also, we need to make it clear that it is something that governments should put money in and test how that could be done. So we really wanted the German government's money for that, first and foremost. And if they committed, then we would love to open up the funding, the stream in, so to say, from, why not crowdfunding? And also, of course, public, private money. But we're really happy now that the German government had committed this kickoff budget, because this is also what we believe is really needed in that field.
If I can add to this, maybe like it is also very like the core of this thing is government, like our government's taking responsible for the digital space, right? Like saying like there's something that we shape, there's something like we invest money in building parks, in building schools, in building roads, in building infrastructure. And this mindset shift, that this is not like just some additional layer on society that somehow got created by like the powers of the market and that is here and government should stay out of it. We want to challenge that mindset. Right, like, and that you don't do by crowdfunding, because crowdfunding in essence, like, sort of almost reinforces that particular mindset.
Thank you, Paul, for putting that into way better words than I could. But yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
I wanted to thank you for this very clear and important putting the responsibility back to the public authorities for really acknowledging that it is a public there is a public need, and it to really take responsibility and fund this. So Birgitte, you wanted to hop in?
I agree very much with the last point. I think this is a public obligation, of course. So maybe my comment is untimely, but having gone into this kind of brainstorming a little bit, I was remembering, I spent most of my life working with development, Africa, Asia, and so on. And one of the things that I've met is something that is considered or called the Universal Access Fund, which is something that the ITU at the time inspired many countries to. 1% of all the profits of mobile companies was put into a fund. And in the US, it was used to build out infrastructure in Ghana, in many African other African countries. I worked particularly with it in Ghana. This 1% was used to build community stations, to bring the broadband, the last mile, and things like that. So I was just wondering whether this is something that has been considered, whether it is actually something that is an operation and a norm in Europe. I don't know, but I just remembered, as I said, coming into this kind of brainstorming phase. Thanks.
Thank you. Any comments on the question, or does anybody know more about the Access Fund or how this could be?
Well, maybe two things, and this maybe like it's brainstorming. So one, like obviously, we are at least in large parts of Europe well beyond the question of access, right? Like it's like I think what we are more and more concerned about is, okay, what do we have access to, and isn't that what we have access to when we dial in, or like nobody dials in anymore? Like it doesn't that, shouldn't that look different? Like I think that is the thing. And then traditionally, of course, like this is like how we as societies, when we want to shape something, how we've solved that in Europe is by taxation, right? Like there's tax revenues, and tax revenues get like allocated by, and this is in the end like also how the tech fund got funded. Like it was a discussion like in the German parliament about like the 2021 or 22 or 23 budget, I'm not sure which one, like, right, like where lawmakers were disputing how much money should go to which priorities in society. It's like it's a competitive process, and fortunately, as a result, they said like we also need to put money into shaping like the way the digital space is further developed, right? Like that is the outcome of this. And so I think we don't necessarily need these separate processes for this. This is at the core of the democratic process, and like the attention needs to go that there's more need for investment in this space.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we are coming now more or less to the closing of the day and of this session. And for the end, I would like to, as we are here coming from different European countries, maybe each of you in your closing remarks, or maybe you can address also if there is something you want to give us on our way. When I think now, what will be the next steps also from a national or state level to push for these kinds of changes, and also on a European level, would you have recommendations? What are the next actions? We heard in the closing of the Vormittag session, action is something that's needed. So which actions would you say we should take next to also get a more accessible route to funding these new public spaces that are not so new anymore, but under other circumstances or in another value set? We didn't have the time to really exchange on which the values would be, because that's also a very interesting and important question. But what would you give us on our way to do next? Adriana, do you want to start, please?
Unclear who you mean by you, but let me then start. Like I think we see like that there's a lot of alignment in governments and politics that like the current system that we have with like dominated by these very big tech companies is not working, right? Like, and that it needs to be changed. Like, and the question is, and people can point to what's wrong with it, misinformation, things like that. The question's like, and we're working on that, right? Like, and Europe has passed like an immense amount of regulation over the last couple of months that will have an effect on how these entities behave themselves. Things will change from that, right? Like that this will put restraints on tech companies that they haven't had before. Like it's very strange that this sector was basically you could do whatever you want, like you didn't need to comply with any regulation before. If you invented something new, you just did it, and like this break things mentality, right? Like any other sector, like if you start becoming economically active in a sector, like you familiarize yourself with the rules, what's kind of like what you can or cannot do. So that has changed. But like then the other question is, what is missing? What kind of like things do we want to build that these people will not build for us, right? Like it's the imagination of like the alternative that we need, and ones that can be imagined by policymakers or by communities. It's probably much easier to make the argument that it should also be funded, right? Like it's not the other way around. Like it's not money should be there and then ideas will follow. Like we also need these things that we can point to that we want to see emerge. And if, as societies, we can do that, then we'll also find the way to fund it.
Thank you.
Um, So now I need to come up with something else to not repeat this.
No, you can also just say, I'm good with what Paul suggested, that the way we go.
I think it became pretty clear in the last hour that we agree on many things. But yeah, I would also like to stress that I think it's good to have this more mission and values, although good point from your side as well. Let's discuss those values as well. A more vision, mission and values-based approach in where we go and where the money flows, and not believe that everything should work under market conditions, especially when you build up critical public services and run them. And as I said, digital infrastructure is part of that. And also, I think it's good that there's lots of attention, but even better, lots of exchange and connection between people thinking about this and working in that field. Because that means that we can now speed forward and make many mistakes and many learnings and share them. And in the next round, somebody else in some other place might set up a similar fund that works even better and doesn't do the same mistakes that we did, makes new ones. And that's how we, I think, we can advance much faster by using each other's approaches as blueprints, copy-paste them, and improve in the whole of Europe.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you both for, let's say, plowing the soil for the digital infrastructure and opening the debate and also the imagination and sharing your thoughts that also show the complexity and that we really need to learn to imagine what we want in this space. Thank you for your expertise and your time. Thank you everyone for being here and that the whole day. So thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.